now we're going to bring up our dear brother, Jay Santiago, who's going to bless us this morning. Let's pray for him. Father God, we are blessed to be here in our nation's capital. We are grateful to be here in the presence of this remnant, these wonderful men. Father, we just ask you to bless Jay and to speak in and through him, give him peace, give him articulation and joy as he delivers the message you've placed on his heart, and let him take comfort in knowing that you will be the one giving the words. Please open our hearts and minds to what he's about to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
I am free. We are free. We are free in Christ. Good morning. Happy to be here today. I noticed the last time that this was videotaped, and you know the closed caption couldn't keep up with my Puerto Rican accent, so I will try to speak slowly as we go today. But I'm excited to be here today. We just finished Veterans Day yesterday. Thank you for all your veteran service. We recognize that. I've had the pleasure and honor of serving with some of you. It's a day that we take a time to just honor that profession, but it's just one of those. It is of significance for many of us, and very appropriate for the times. Right, we're talking about freedom. We're going to be talking Galatians 5 verses 2 to 12, and we're going to be talking about freedom. Freedom. What really is it? What is this concept of freedom that we talk about? What is it that fuels so much passion in us, so much purpose, so much that inspires people to take risks for everything, for the promise of freedom? What is that? It's not just a word, I don't think, or an ideal. It's actually kind of like a powerful force, right, that drives people to break boundaries, to take on challenges, to sacrifice for something bigger than themselves. It's a longing of autonomy, the chance to live authentically, and the opportunity to forge one's own path. I know in my own life, it's been that way. I'll share a little story with you, indulge with me. But you know, in my own journey, freedom has taken many forms. From being born on the 4th of July, I was born on the 4th of July, 1963, Hardin County, Kentucky. Right, I am from Puerto Rico, but Hardin County is Fort Knox. I happen to be an Army brat. That's where my father was stationed. So I was born in the South and then went to live way south. Yeah, from the moment I was born on the 4th of July to the independence of a teenager to the profound sense of duty as a soldier to the financial freedom that eventually I learned, right, that comes from learning and applying hard lessons, right, and finally my ultimate liberation that I found in my faith in Jesus Christ. Freedom. You know, it's a word that evokes a lot of feelings, right? I remember when I was 16 years old, I could get my driver's permit. However, I couldn't go on the 4th, right? I don't know what happens this day and age. Kids don't want to drive. But I remember that to me, freedom was getting my driver's permit. I could not go on the 4th because the 4th was closed, so I had to wait an extra day, right, as I was watching the fireworks. Which, by the way, my dad, until I was 5 or 6 years old, he used to just take me out and say, "Hey, son, here it is for you," right? But I remember getting my driver's license. I remember having the freedom. Now, it came with a price, right? I was the oldest of 4. So I had to run mom and dad's errands. It was dad's car. I had to wash it. But on the weekends, when I was done all my chores and did good at school, I had that car. And I was free to ride, right? Then furthermore, as a young second lieutenant, when I landed in Augusta, Georgia, finally, you know, just I had one suitcase, $100 to my name. For the first time, I was on my own, a fully fledged active duty soldier, right, with twice a month paycheck, right, with a roof over my head and the self-reliance and the pride that comes with it, right? But there were trade-offs, right? I missed my mother's cooking and my family in Puerto Rico, right? All the bills were my responsibility now, right? I had my own car with a payment, but I was ready, and I was ready to ride. See, throughout my career, I also had the opportunity to travel to places for people that people only hear of, right? I stood on foreign soil and witnessed firsthand the difference, the stark difference between the United States of America, what we have here, and what it's around the globe. Along the way, I lost some mates, just like some of you, right? And made me realize that this freedom comes with a cost that makes it precious to us. As I mature in my faith in Christ, you know, I actually experienced financial freedom, right? From credit card debt or consumer debt, right? And having the balances paid off and having peace instead of pressure. You know, no longer weighing down by the interest rate. At this time, I can now take a ride on a paid car, and I can ride, and we can ride. But as precious as those experiences were, they pale in comparison to the experience found when I gave my life to Christ. See, nothing has given me more freedom than knowing, like Scripture says, that I am a new creature in Christ, that the old has gone and the new is here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The truth, this truth, the fact that I'm free in Christ, is the ultimate ride. A freedom that is not bound by any border, any trade-off, because it's already been paid in full. It's just that simple. Dallas and I were talking about the gospel. It ain't that complicated. It is very simple, freedom in Christ, because he did the work. I think this is what Paul was talking about when he was addressing the Galatians in chapter 5, verses 2 to 12, right? That the true freedom is found not in the laws that bind us, but in the grace that frees us to live fully for Christ, not for self. Let's go to Scripture. And I'll read this to you. I'm reading from the ESV. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are server from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view. And the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And here's a warning. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. See, as a little bit of context in reflecting in this passage, I recognize tension between outward practices and the true freedom in Christ. It's a theme that Paul throughout Galatians is talking about. Urgently, that he addresses this in Galatians. In his time, we have to remember that rites like circumcision were central to the people's religious identity. And Paul's message challenges the believers to trust in Christ alone rather than the outward acts. See, we too face that temptation to validate our faith through actions or appearances, don't we? Sometimes we're forgetting that rites and rituals always fall short. See, as we study that passage, there should be some questions that we should have in the back of our mind, right? Number one is that what was Paul's intent in writing this passage to the Galatians, and how might that they have understood freedom compared to our modern context? See, Paul's intent was to remind Galatians and us that true freedom in Christ liberates us from trying to earn God's favor through rules and rituals. His audience, the Galatians, and us now, lived in a culture where following the laws were deeply embedded in their identity and community. It's a uniform they wore. For them, embracing freedom was a radical change, challenging, and it meant letting go of familiar rites and rituals that they believe will bring them closer to God. We should ask ourselves, how does Paul's teaching on freedom in this passage align or differ from the broader biblical narrative of freedom? See, throughout the Bible, freedom is portrayed as the liberation from sin and from a life ruled by self-interest. See, in John 8:36, Jesus says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Say, "I'm free." Okay. This reminds us that for us, that true freedom doesn't come from following a set of laws, but being released from the power of sin. Paul's teachings here aligns with the broader narrative by encouraging us to trust in Christ alone. Period. Full stop. We should trust in Christ alone and not on the rites that fall short of transforming our hearts. We should also ask ourselves that in what ways Paul's warnings about false teaching reflect the challenges the early church faced, and how can we apply these warnings to our context today? Well, I'll tell you, the early church faced teachers, they mix the law with grace, diluting the gospel message. It was the cross plus, Christ plus. That's not the way it is. Paul's warning to the Galatians reminds me of our need to guard our hearts against subtle influence that might lead us back into legalism and perform-based religion. Let me share with you a couple of pertinent points, right? Number one is freedom in Christ and not in the law. In verses 2 to 6, he says, "Look, I, Paul," I'm talking to you, right? He says, "that say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify against every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace." Now, Paul's statement, this is a bold statement, and this hits me deeply. See, him saying that if we rely on any ritual or work to justify us before Christ gives us of no advantage is very profound, right? It reminds me that I don't have to prove my worthiness to God. Instead, my relationship is based on faith in his grace and his mercy. See, Romans 8:3-28 says, it reinforces this, "For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." It's a reminder that we are free from rules, rituals, religion. So remind us about that. Have you ever found yourself caught in a performance-based spirituality? How has that impacted your understanding of God's grace? Second, you know, there's a warning against false teachings. Say, verses 7 through 12. You were running well. Who hinder you from obeying the truth? You can see Paul's agony reaching out to those he loved that have strayed away from the truth, right? You can see that. Who has hindered you obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence, right? The hope of the Father, right? The hope of a Father. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if, brothers, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. And here's one. I wish those who unsettled you would emasculate themselves. Why stop at circumcision? Go the full Monty. Take it on. And you think this is weird, but there were practices of pagan religions that one of those acts of worship would be a man castrating themselves. So he says, if you're going to do circumcision, why stop there? You know, put your mouth where, but you know, put your money where your mouth is, right? Or everything else. Paul warns us that there's a small amount of false teaching can corrupt. That's what he's talking about there. This is relevant to us too, because as subtle deviations from the gospel simplicity can create unhealthy focus on performance. See, Jesus' words in Matthew 7, 15, 16, where in our world that it might look like teachings and promise, right? 7, 15, and 16 talks about the sheep's and wolf's clothing, right? Teachers that add more to what the gospel is. And we need to be careful about that. Number three is freedom does not mean self-indulgence. Our brother Richard said it last week, and something that hit me throughout the week. He said, freedom is not about doing what I want to do. Freedom is doing what I ought to do. See, I don't have to come to church. I get to come to church. I don't have to come to base camp. I get to be in base camp, in fellowship with brothers and believers that will encourage me and lift me up and pray for me in my time of need and pray for others and focus on others. I don't have to do these things. I get to do these things. I get to give. I get to have the opportunity to serve on this side of heaven because there's work to be done for the kingdom of God on this side of heaven. Again, I say this constantly. You ever wonder why is it that the day you were saved, you didn't poof, go away? Because there's work to be done, but it's not that you have to do it. You get to participate alongside Christ on his work, on the miracle, working with other people. That is an amazing story, right? So what? Let me a couple points of applications here. Number one, what do we need to remember ourselves, right? What do we need to remember as we go out? And I know everybody's busy and we have to get out there. But number one is trust in Christ alone for righteousness, period. It's easy to feel the pressure to prove spirituality, to have, and especially that for it to have visible acts. But I have learned to rest on the acceptance that I already have in Christ. Just relax. You're not, just work. Work for him, not for getting to him. That's not the way it works. See, John 8:36 again says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free. Say, I'm free.
I'm free.
Yeah. Number two, my notes went away. Yeah. Number two, guard against false influences. See, being grounded on Scripture keeps us from being misled by teachings that seem spiritual but lack the foundation of grace. See, we should be like the Bereans in Acts 17. What did they do? Well, they examined the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So, see, God has given us his word, so we should, like a friend of mine says, we should meditate and medicate on the Word of God. You know, we teach the kids in fifth and sixth grade, say, don't say yup until you look it up. Okay? There's a lot of our answers, the real consequential answers for our love, for our lives, is found in Scripture. There are things that are very specified. Other things are unspecified. But you're not going to know the character and the attributes of God if you're not reading Scripture. You're not going to be able to know what fellowship is all about, or freedom and fellowship, if you're not in fellowship. See, the enemy wants to separate us. You know, when we're down, the thing that he wants to do is separate you from this herd. Because he doesn't want you here. He wants you alone in a corner, crying, whining, complaining, right? But while you're here, when we're together, it's all for one. There you go. See, that's the beauty of it. And finally, you know, what else can we do? We can serve others in love. Paul's reminder to use freedom to serve others is crucial. In 1 John 3:18, it says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Right? This reminds me that love is active. It requires a focus on others rather than myself. This change in focus transforms the way we approach serving others, especially in our daily lives. I guarantee you today you'll go out there, you'll have an opportunity to minister if you open your heart. Just be ready. Just be intentional. Just ask the Lord, who are you meeting today? Those divine appointments. Somebody is going to know what's in you that's different. We just went through an election. How is it that you, it doesn't matter who got elected, at the end of the day, we know that our God is sovereign. He was not on the ballot. He was the God yesterday. He's the God today. He'll be a God tomorrow. Doesn't matter what happens. We know our final destination, don't we? And if you're here today for the first time or never made that decision, today's the day to make that call. You have been exposed with the truth. So don't leave this place, because this was your divine appointment. You can no longer say, oh, I didn't know. There's plenty of brothers here that will be willing to talk to you, pray for you, lift you up, show you the way so you can accept Christ into your life. And if you have accepted Christ, then you know there's work to be done. And one of those things is loving each other, serving each other, being part of the parking, serving in the women's ministry, helping the women's ministry. Those are practical things that you can do, but not because you have to do them, because you get to do them. Finally, you know, these insights and questions help us dive deeper into the freedom that Christ offers. It's a call to use the gift of freedom wisely, reflecting God's love through our actions and our attitude. See, as we reflect on these passages and our call to freedom, let us remember that God doesn't ask us to prove ourselves or to perform our way into his love. Instead, he invites us to rest in the finished work of Christ. Wow, what a relief. It's kind of like when my wife talks to me once, so you've never been here. If you've never been here, right, just, it's like when she tells, hey, I got this problem, and they talk to you, and you immediately want to put your fix-it hat on, and all she wants is what? For you to listen. Oh, it was liberating for me that after 30 years, it was really, I only discovered this about, you know, I'm not that smart, right? About 10 years ago, I said, you mean to tell me that I don't have to do anything, that all you want me to do is listen? It's that freedom that came with that. It said, I can do this all day. Let me get my cup of coffee so I can be more actively listening. Don't forget to agree. There you go. Our freedom in him is a gift, not something we earn, but something that we were given so we can truly live fully unburdened by rules and rituals. Truly unburdened by what has been, right? Let's allow this freedom to propel us forward, not into selfishness, but into a life marked by love and service. Here's my final thought. The journey has not been easy, but we're not alone. God is with us, guiding us into deeper understanding of grace, grounding us in his truth, and equipping us to share the love with others. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So take heart. You are already free in Christ. Say, I'm free. Let that truth sink in, strengthen you, inspire you to live boldly, knowing that in God's eyes, success is not in striving, but in surrender. Go out there and live in freedom, knowing that the price has already been paid, that you are a victor and not a victim, that you can make a difference because of the Christ that lives in every one of us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity and privilege of being here today. I pray for these men. Father, pray you bless them and their families as they go out there. Father, may they walk their lives where people know, wow, they're different. He's different. They walk their lives knowing that they are free because you've already paid the price. We pray this in the most powerful name that I know. In the name of Jesus, amen. Here's some questions, and next week we will be with our brother George Lair. Thank you so much. Have a good day.